Moonology class starts in less than a week. Definitely there's still some spots available, so please, if you want to hop in, please do. The class will be open the whole week. There's no like shutting down registration day, so if you still need to think about it, my tuition for that class is super flexible. I have 4 different payment plans to make it as affordable as possible, and really I just want to get a fun group together to learn about the moon on a little bit more of an intermediate level. So if you've been wanting to get better at kind of looking at a chart like such as this, I'm about to show you this. I'm in my room at my parents' house. Okay, so if you've been wanting to kind of get a little bit better at being like, oh, okay, today the moon is in Pisces, right next to Saturn. What does that mean? Sextiling Venus, you know, and how can I better my day through this knowledge? You know, that is something that we're going to be doing in this moonology class. So it's a good class if you've been kind of in the beginner phases of studying astrology for a while, but you want to kind of get into more of the intermediate level. This class will definitely get you there. And I'll be asking my students in this class to bring charts of their own, like, you know, what was an important moment you had recently? Did you get fired from a job, or did you have a breakup, or did you hear some really exciting news? Did you get engaged? You know, like, we're going to bring some personalized charts to the class and kind of look at what the moon was doing at that moment, and maybe how it sort of probed at our own natal charts. So there's kind of a fun element there. And then for homework, I think I'll kind of ask you to like design a breakup chart, or design a chart where someone is getting a new job, just like for practice. And yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm sure if you've ever been in one of my classes before, you know that my teaching style is a little bit more on the fly. I'm an improver. I have like a more improvisational teaching style. So we'll just kind of see what the class is interested in as a group, and we'll see where that takes us. You don't have to attend live. It's Saturday and Sunday, 2 weekends in a row. And I think the time is 12 to 1:30 Central, Saturday, Sunday. Starts March 25th. So you don't have to attend live. I highly recommend you attend as many live classes as you can. If you do just want to buy the class to watch the recording, more power to you. But I always say I think my students will get the most out of class being involved in like the discussion of the group, because all of my classes are extremely discussion based. And speaking of discussion-based classes, my tarot class is starting again very soon. It'll be starting in April. I'll be making a post for that sometime this week. I'm calling in my Emperor cohort. So if you've been waiting for a tarot class that you want to jump in on, again, this is a very discussion-based, group-oriented tarot class. You'll feel like really close with the group, and you'll get to know the different people taking the class, and you'll learn from your student, from your fellow classmates, as much as you learn from me. It's a tarot class that's very based in personal storytelling. I've had a lot of people go through this class. I think probably 40 or 50 at this point. So if you need someone to talk to, I can refer you to one of my students, and they can even tell you a little bit about what it's like to join the tarot class. Okay, so I'll have the dates up there soon. If you really want to take this class and you have a strong preference of, if you had a choice between a Thursday night and a Saturday early afternoon class, let me know, like DM me and be like, Mal, I'm so in on this tarot class, but strong preference for Thursday night, or strong preference for Saturday afternoon. let me know that. Okay? That's about it. Those are my announcements. And now that everybody's here, and oh, hey, Peter. Oh my gosh. If you guys don't follow Allie's new dog, Peter, he's so cute. Sam, I'm glad to hear you've been practicing your glyphs. Ellis, you said highly recommend the tarot class. Thanks. Oh, geez, guys. Sorry, I'm like all over the place with this tripod. We had fun. Yes, we had a lot of fun last time in the Empress cohort. So this time around, it'll be the Emperor cohort. All right, friends. So what is up this week? We have three really big things coming up this week, which seems like we're saying that every single week in March, and it's true. I mean, we've had Saturn enter into a new sign. We've had a really lively full moon in Virgo. We've had Mars exiting his shadow. Now, on Tuesday, this is the astrological new year. Or, well, do we consider the astrological new year the first day of Aries season or the Aries new moon? Well, it's kind of the same day. Okay, yeah. So on Tuesday, we have the spring equinox, Aries new moon, the sun enters Aries. This is the day that represents sort of the astrological rebirth. And that's because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, right? So sometime around noon central on March 21st, the sun and the moon will conjoin around 0 degrees Aries, forming the Aries new moon and also kind of marking this sort of spring equinox rebirth of the astrological cycle. Okay, so something I remind us all about every time the Aries, the spring equinox comes around is that something affiliated with Aries is the process of like naming things. Because if you think about it, Aries is represented by the head. And this is a little bit graphic, but, you know, when a baby is exiting the birth canal, 9 times out of 10, the first thing that, you know, comes into this world is the crowning head of this baby. And once this baby is born, they're usually put in their mother's arms, and then soon after that, they're named. Right? So this sort of Aries metaphor I'm talking about right now, it's the process of the physical body arriving to the earthly plane. You know, like the physical body is finally here. And also we are sort of connected to our name, which is extremely important. There's something, certain psychologists have talked about how important our names become in our lifetimes, and I just think overall it's a really good time of the year to reconnect with the meaning of your name. I know that sounds silly, but do you think about, like, you know, who were you named after? How did your parents come up with your name? Do you like your name? Have you renamed yourself at some point? Do you want to rename yourself at some point? What do you want to be called? It's funny, I kind of have gone through a little bit of a renaming process. I mean, nothing like totally drastic, but once I was teaching English in Malaysia, I completely started going by Mal, because when I was in Malaysia in 2018 teaching English, nobody could really say my name. Mallory was a little bit of a an interesting, you know, name to the Malaysians. So I just said, my name's Mal. Everybody called me Miss Mal. And that was it. And after that experience, I actually started going by Mal. Not that I didn't before, but I started going by Mal in a much more greater context. And now I just introduce myself as Mal. And there's something about that name, going from Mallory to Mal. It represents something to me. I don't even know what it represents to me, but it feels to me like it represents a more, I don't know, like a more authentic expression of who I am. Not that I don't like the name Mallory, I really do, I really love my name, but I just feel so much more like Mal than I do Mallory. Not that I get mad when people call me Mallory, I mean, you can still call me Mallory, but you guys get what I'm saying? There's like this kind of an interesting thing where we can sink into that meaning of the name that we're carrying, okay? So that's right off the bat what I like to say on every spring equinox, Aries new moon. Reconnect with the psychology of your name. Where does it come from? What does it mean? What does it mean to you? Have you ever been through a renaming process? Like all of that kind of stuff is a good thing to connect with. Now, why is that? Well, we already talked about how Aries is connected to kind of like the birthing process. But we also know that in the tarot, what card is ruled by Aries? That is the Emperor. Okay. So I love this card. And, you know, the Emperor is a card that teaches us kind of, we hear this phrase, claiming of our space, taking up space. you know, that feels to me like the most popular rhetoric in the modern day tarot world that we learn about the Emperor, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong. I actually completely agree. I think there's something about the Emperor that really asks us, you know, are we claiming our space in the way that our souls truly are here to do? Are we taking up the space that is needed in order for our evolution as human beings to happen, right? There's a lot of artists in this room, right? So I think out of everybody, oddly, artists and writers and photographers, anybody who puts their creative, you know, stuff out there, I think they actually know the Emperor the best, because the Emperor is kind of like that voice that's like, oh, you know, who are you to hang up your art in an art gallery? Or like, who are you to charge money for your book? Or who are you to submit your manuscript to the publisher, right? Like, it's that sort of like looming kind of like, I'm afraid to take up my space. Am I really that creative? Have I created something that's really that authentic? Or, have I, like, do I have something that's really that original? You know, there's so many, like, shadow artist stories that kind of, I think, go along with the Emperor's shadow side, right? So, that being said, I think this new moon really brings up this sort of stepping into new territory, that we're continuing to kind of machete our way through. Okay, I've been watching too much Outer Banks, so I'm like thinking of like the teenagers on Outer Banks, like taking their machetes and cutting through these jungle grasses. If anybody's been watching season 3. Now, something else came to mind, though, with the Emperor and also this new moon in Aries, because if we think about it, the new moon on the 21st, who's the ruler of Aries? Mars, right? And what's Mars doing? On the 21st, Mars will be at 28 Gemini. So this is actually a degree that Mars has not yet reached within Gemini, right? He entered Gemini in August 2022, went retrograde around 26 degrees Gemini around Halloween 2022. Station direct, I think that was like around 8 degrees Gemini in January. Past his shadow period just this past week, and finally he's reaching these degrees of Gemini that are unexplored territory for him, and he's about to move into Cancer. And what does that mean? Well, I think now that the retrograde shadow is clearing, we might be getting a little scared, right? And I say this about a lot of longer retrograde periods, like we almost get used to the suffering that has ensued due to the retrograde or due to some of the issues or challenges that the retrograde has brought up, right? If a retrograde period feels like it's kind of holding us back or fencing us in, we can spend the whole retrograde period saying, oh, like, God damn it, like, if only this fence wasn't here, then I could, you know, do this or do that. And then the retrograde shadow clears, and finally that fence is open, and we're like, hell no, I'm not leaving this fence. Like, I'm not going forward, you know? So there's a little bit of hesitation or fear that I think we're overcoming this week. And when I was journaling this morning, I was thinking about the idea of, like, choosing to backtrack, you know, and what does backtracking mean? Like, what do we, why do we do that or say that? Like, we might lose something, or we might have a project that's not going very well, right? And we might say, okay, let me backtrack. Let's backtrack here, right? And that's all fine, right? Like, there are some periods of time where we need to retrace our steps and go back and kind of review, right? But I would say in this new moon, being ruled by that Mars that's like in these sort of unexplored territories of Gemini, maybe there's a temptation to backtrack, even mentally, because it's Mars in Gemini. It's like mental backtracking that isn't necessarily needed, you know, or when we have the choice to push forward into the unknown versus backtracking, you know, our way down a path we've already been. You know, sometimes that backtracking step seems kind of tempting, right? And here's where I bring out the second card of this week, which is the Seven of Swords. So yeah, we have the Emperor kind of challenging us to move forward, and the Seven of Swords kind of beckoning us into this sort of mental retracing of our steps. And what came to me this morning was the phrase, what did I write down? I think it was something like, sometimes it's easier to just keep going. You know, that's the phrase that kind of came to me. And I know that doesn't sound very powerful now that I said it, but yes, sometimes let me reiterate that. Yes, sometimes it's easier to just keep going. And our fear stories, or the Seven of Swords stories, in our minds may tell us, no, actually, it's easier to go back into the past. It's easier to go ruminate on those things that we love to cyclically think about. Or it's easier to go back in time or go back to a certain state that wasn't necessarily about moving forward, but rather it was just sort of a surrender or a sort of like stuckness. Because, guys, I think we underestimate just how safe the ego can sometimes feel in quote-unquote stuckness. Like, we think we hate it, you know? We think we're like, oh, I just want to get out of this. Like, but then when we do move forward and we kind of are like, all right, well, nothing changes. If nothing changes, let's start going down the new path. It's scary. It's really scary for our parts of ourselves to enter into these unexamined, unexplored territories. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I was doing some climbing, some bouldering, and it was just like a bad day. It was like a bad bouldering day where I felt like last week I had made a lot of progress with like my strength and my ability to like climb some of the harder climbs, and I was feeling kind of proud of myself, and yeah, I was just feeling like I got stronger. And this whole week I've been really not feeling well with some of my allergies and just some of my physical manifestations of like fatigue and things like that have been making me not feel like I could really go to the gym. So yesterday I was like, all right, I'm gonna get back out there. Like, let's just go. Even if I'm gonna suck, I'm just gonna still show up at the rock climbing gym and see what I can do. Guys, I was backtracking so much on these, we call them problems, right? So like the actual route of like how to get up. What I would do is I'd be halfway up a problem that is supposedly like a somewhat easy problem, and I would just like get stuck halfway up, and I would get scared, and then I would get even more scared because I would start to backtrack and panic, and then I would just like drop and fall. And like, luckily, I mean, I didn't get hurt. I know how to fall, but I just was having like this repeated thing of getting up halfway or close to the top, stopping, getting scared, panicking, backtracking, and dropping. And I've talked a little bit about this before, like when we're fully physically capable of getting to the top, but mentally our story about our strength or our ability isn't completely there, right? So it keeps us from finishing the problem. And at one point I like scraped myself and as I was coming down, and I was like, I literally think I wouldn't have scraped myself. I wouldn't have hurt myself. Not that I hurt myself severely, but I wouldn't have hurt myself if I had just keep going, you know? But in the process of going backwards and trying to get down and sort of chickening out, for lack of a better term, like that is what kind of, you know, fucked me up on the path, okay? Like that's kind of what happened. So I was thinking about this, and I hadn't made this connection until this morning, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's so mentally kind of what I'm doing too right now. And I think a lot of us might be doing similar things in that realm, you know? Like, here's the path of moving forward, of doing something different, of changing something. Again, nothing changes if nothing changes. So I have this open doorway of going down the unexplored path of change. Yet I could just turn around, you know, I could just turn around and go, you know, the same way I've gone before. And I know it doesn't lead to anything, and maybe it's just like this big circle. But at least I know where I'm going, right? So there's a little bit of like willingness we have to have with this new moon to be willing to not know exactly where we're going, but also holding this sort of frequency of, could it actually be easier? Is it easier to just keep going? Am I making things harder for myself, or even self-sabotaging, which I think can be a Seven of Swords theme? Am I self-sabotaging by convincing myself that I'm not capable of the new path and instead just kind of cycling around the same pattern that I've been doing, right? And Alexandra, you said moving forward is the best way to distract the negative thoughts. Trying and doing it is the only way to know if it works out or not. Oh, yes, that's exactly the feeling for me of Tuesday, the spring equinox, the new moon in Aries. It's so easy to, again, to feel like, I am just going to climb, like what I was doing at the rock climbing gym. I'm halfway up and I'm scared. And now I'm like frozen because I stopped and I started to psych myself out mentally, which is very Seven of Swords. And now I have to like do this weird fall and I can't get down properly because I stopped at a weird place. It would have been easier to just keep going, which sometimes is a message of the Emperor. What would happen if you just kept going for one more week? and I don't mean that in a cryptic way, although, there have been moments mentally where I've had to tell myself that, but that is not necessarily what I mean here. It's more like, what if I just hold out one more week and don't quit my project? Or what if I hold out just one more week and don't give up? Or what if I just tried the new way for one more week? And see where that leads, because there are so many shifts. Other than this new moon, we also have Pluto moving into Aquarius, which is a whole thing in itself, right? And then we have Mars on Saturday moving into Cancer. So again, that's why I say one more week. You know, challenge these fear stories that tell you it's better to backtrack than move forward. Just keep pushing against those things for one more week. And, it's not to say Mars in Cancer is like, woo, like, I mean, Mars doesn't love to be in Cancer, but at the same time, I'm way looking forward to Mars in Cancer after having so much Mars in Gemini for the past 6 months. So there's at least going to be a shift, a sort of physical shift of how we are approaching our lives and our strategy. Laura, you said that's a great example of how the mind controls and influences the body. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And Natasha, you said with climbing, I always try to remind myself they will take the route down and I will be sad if I didn't try to make it before it was gone. Yes, yes, that is so true. Yeah, so now I'm kind of looking a little bit more. I'm going to flip my camera around again, but let's just look at the chart of the spring equinox. This is a little bit late. I think it actually happens at Cancer rising. Okay, so this is March 21st, 2023. Around noon central time, we can see we have the sun and the moon at 0 degrees Aries. We've got Chiron at that time at 5 degrees Aries. I think that's sort of like the grit and gumption to like, it's like, I don't recommend being mean to ourselves and being like, shut up and just do it. Like, that's not the compassion that we may need. But at the same time, Mars in Aries is kind of like one of my climbing friends who, when I climb with them, it's actually very helpful because they're a yeller And they will literally be like, put your left foot up, switch the blah, blah, go, you got this, don't come down. Like, they will literally, like, yell at me. And sometimes I need that, you know, sometimes I need that. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually did have Mars and Aries in their own natal chart. You know, this is what Mars and Aries kind of does for us on the spring equinox. It's like, don't turn around, right? And then in the meantime here, like, here's like this impending change in the background. We have Venus and Taurus approaching that conjunction with Uranus. That won't happen until maybe, let's see, that'll be more like next week, 10 days from now. But here's that change that's kind of coming in. And then, again, this is all ruled by Mars down here. It's not a coincidence that at the moment of the new moon, the spring equinox, you know, Mars is the ruler and Mars is in the 12th house. You know what's a very 12th house kind of thing to do? Oh, you know, self-sabotage. buy into the fear stories that, that, you know, keep us awake at night, right? That feels to me like that's the temptation of the new moon. The idea of the Cheshire cat came to me earlier for some reason. I was thinking about that. Like, I was thinking about how in Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire cat, like, there's some line where he's like, you could go this way or you could go this way, but they all lead to this way. Or, like, does anybody know what line I'm talking about in Alice in Wonderland? But it kind of feels like that as well. Even if we do backtrack, I hate to break it to you, but, like, eventually you're just gonna, I think you're gonna find yourself back at this point again. So why not just, you know, jump right now? Jeanette, you said, I love the Cheshire cat. They have a giant mural of it in Wicker Park. Oh, I didn't know that. I should go check it out. I do love the Cheshire cat as, like, an archetypal figure that kind of, yeah, that kind of comes up when we're feeling like, okay, what path to go down, right? You know, the other thing too, early this morning, it's funny because I don't have my animal deck with me, but there's, in the Kim Kranz animal spirit deck, there's a, card that's the elk. And if you're familiar with the elk spirit, the elk very much reminds me of the emperor, in the sense that the elk is like this huge animal that's like starkly big, and he kind of takes up space in a way that that the emperor teaches us how to. And this morning, in one of my dreams, I had a very profound vision of an elk. And you know what? Contrary to popular belief about, like, Pisces, you guys know I'm a double Pisces, I have Saturn in Pisces, I don't have that profound of dreams very often. I don't keep track of my dreams. I don't know, like, it's not that big of a thing for me. It could be if I, like, practiced remembering my dreams and things like that, but, you know, it's just never been, I shouldn't say it's never been, but it's rare for me to have a profound dream. So this morning was rare for me to be like, wow, that was like a message. But I was walking in the forest and I saw an elk, and it was so big. It was almost like baby dinosaur kind of big. And it was so big, I thought it was fake, like, at first. I was like, oh my god, like, who left this statue of this elk in the forest. And at first I thought it was just its head in a weird way. Like, I thought it was like a statue of its like neck in the woods, but then it got up and I was like, oh shit, this is the whole thing. And I was so scared of its like greatness and its bigness, I ran away. And somehow I end up on like the other side of the forest, kind of in like a more almost like I land in a place where I'm now looking at the elk from a higher place, like a sort of like from a cloud or like a side of a mountain or something. And I see the elk now is next to this like little rabbit, and they both jump into this river together and they start swimming. And it kind of like dawned upon me that like that little rabbit wasn't afraid at all of this big elk. And I was afraid and I had ran away from it, right? And it wasn't until I looked at it from sort of a bird's eye view where I was like, oh, it wasn't trying to hurt me, or because that's what I thought when I started running away in my dream. I was like, oh my God, this thing's gonna trample me. It's so big. But it was never trying to do that. It was always just trying to go to the river and meet its rabbit friend, right? So in a weird way, it's funny that I have this dream about the elk a few days before the spring equinox, which is the Aries new moon. The emperor rules over Aries, and the elk for me is very much an animal spirit that echoes the messages of emperor and Aries. So that being said, with my own parsing out of my own dream, I do think there was something about like the fear of greatness that was coming up in that dream, or like the fear of taking up space, or the fear of something like really big. And I think just pay attention for those things this week, especially when those self-sabotaging or fear story stuff comes up. I could almost guarantee when you get to the root of it, like when you're like, okay, why am I afraid of that? Why do I want to backtrack? Why do I want to do this? Why do I want to do that? There's only a few different fears that really are probably at play. One is probably the fear of being seen. Maybe the other is fear of failure. And I do think the fear of failure also kind of loops back to the fear of being seen, because I think mostly the fear of failure is, yeah, the fear of people judging us for failing and not actually the failure itself, right? Or people seeing us fail. You know, that feels to me kind of like a shadow emperor kind of fear. And also, not only the fear of being seen, but the fear of our own greatness. The fear of our own bigness. Especially those of us who, well, I'm going to say this for everybody. I don't think it's just AFAB people. I think it's everybody. We have literally been conditioned to be small. I mean, especially AFAB people, like, you know, us being conditioned, especially in American society, like beauty is only skinny, or like the most beautiful girl is like this small little skinny person who doesn't really take up space, right? Do keep in mind, like, when we are extending compassion to ourselves, like, you know, we've only been taught to be small, and, us playing things small or being small, not pushing up against our emperor, our inner emperor, and continuing in the cycles of our Seven of Swords, that benefits, you know, the capitalistic agenda, right? So, of course, there's some part of our conditioning that's like, no, 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 don't be big, right? So just some thoughts with that, my friends. But overall, I'm really excited. I'm excited that this spring equinox is ruled by Mars, who is, well, technically, I guess the spring equinox is always ruled by Mars, but this in particular, we have Mars finally exiting his shadow. So that's really, really big. And I hope that part of that message resonates with some people, that sometimes it's just easier to move forward instead of backtracking. And Natasha, okay, yeah, going back to the Cheshire Cat thing, thanks for putting this in the chat, Natasha. You said, Alice says, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? And the Cheshire Cat says, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to. Yes, yes, it's a little bit like a Sphinx riddle, right? At the spring equinox, we're like, all right, what path are we really going to take? We're almost asking the Cheshire Cat, you know, which way to go. And yeah, Laura, if you do have the animal, Kim Cran's Animal Spirit Guidebook, if you have that deck, yeah, read the elk message, or even maybe Google elk, the elk spirit message. So yeah, Alexandra, you said big and small fear, fear of failure and fear of victories. Every step has a fear emotion. That's what I was looking at too. Like I was sitting here, you know, it's funny you say that because like right behind me, I have some of like my old diaries and sometimes I like to like flip them open and I'm like, all right, what was I thinking about, you know, 3 years ago? And I was like, oh, I was scared then too. Like it just, I was anxious about something then too. Like it literally never ends. And I know that's not like a optimistic, you know, message, but I'm like, okay, well, what's next? Like, even if I do backtrack, you know, I'm still gonna have, it's not like I'm escaping this anxiety that I have. It's just gonna cause more anxiety. So might as well push forward and still have anxiety. Alex, you said this so resonated. Thank you. So scared of its greatness and bigness. Oh, Blue Moon Cocoon, you said you have an elk hat that you wear often. Yeah, Laura, please send those elk messages to me and I'll post them on my story. Yeah, thanks for listening, my friends. And I would love to spend, it is 4:44 Central Time. Feels good. And let's spend the rest of our Witch Church moment pulling some cards for the collective. So if you're here and you would appreciate, if you need a tarot message, or even if you just want some good vibes or some prayers to send to a certain situation, us Witch Church community has very, you know, very strong prayer power. So I'll just even send a collective prayer right now while I'm waiting for y'all to type your questions and requests in the chat. I'll just say I'm in full agreement that this week we can just keep going and just give it one more week of trying to move forward, that we're able to pause before we start backtracking and really ask ourselves why we're backtracking. And I'm just in full agreement that this Aries spring equinox can be a positive shift and a positive sort of push or momentum into the next step. Okay. Okay. Emma, you said, I would love a general card for the mood and vibes of this week. Okay. Ooh. Okay. It seems like, Emma, you have King of Cups and also King of Wands. This is giving like creative entrepreneur vibes. And also like you're about to maybe kind of think more about what you would like to offer the world as an artist and as a creative. And also, this is giving me vibes of, you know, the King of Wands is kind of like, I can do whatever I want. Like, I can design the life that I want to live. So if there's any adjustments that you've been wanting to make to, like, your schedule or your location, it feels like you might be planning for maybe a little bit of shift, a shift when it comes to that. But mostly, this really feels like you are, you know, at the beginning of launching or showing up in a new way when it comes to either your writing, your photography, your artistry, in whatever shape or form. So this is exciting. Double kings. Let's see. Jeanette, you said, I'd love a card for my job hunt. I feel it, Jeanette. I'm on the job, the part-time job hunt too, guys. If you haven't known, since I moved to Chicago, I've been working part-time at Whole Foods, and I'm like, all right, it's time for the next part-time job. It's time for something that's a little bit less overstimulating. Yeah, if you're in Chicago and you see anything that you part-time that you think would be of interest to me, let me know. Yeah, I say that with a grain of salt. But also, I did back like 6 months ago or 7 months ago, I did tell you guys I was looking for a roommate in Chicago and someone hooked me up. So I know there's some good portals in Witch Church. So let's see. Jeanette, Page of Wands. Okay, so I do think there's something about the generation of excitement and like a true, it feels like a true excitement that's going to be leading you to the next gig. And I think it feels to me too like your excitement and joy and almost childlike curiosity that the Page of Wands can kind of hold is what's also pointing you into the direction of something that does feel more aligned. Because that might actually be maybe something that you felt like has been missing from your collection of career paths. You know, it might be like, oh, like, I don't actually feel that excited about this. And what could I be doing that does feel more exciting to me? That does feel like it invites in more joy. And also, I think Spirit is kind of inviting you into just kind of following your spontaneity. That's something that the Page of Wands gives us when it comes to like just the gift of being like, oh, I feel like my intuition's pointing me here, and then I see the help wanted sign on this door and I go in, and you know, it was all this spontaneous unraveling of events, but through my kind of risk-taking way of doing it, I was able to find what was aligned. Okay, so don't be too kind of tied up or buttoned up with how the traditional job search has to go, and be open to doing it your way. Alexandra, you said, I would love a card to help guide Sarah on her college decision. Yes. All right. Oh, Queen of Cups. Okay, this is funny, Alexandra, because, you know, this is like the mother card, right? And I think maybe what your daughter needs in this moment is like exactly what you've been giving her, which is sort of just the emotional support. And at the same time, I kind of feel like I see your energy kind of putting your foot in the ground and kind of being like, I won't make this decision for you. You know, I will help you regulate your emotions through this decision, and I will emotionally support you as you make this decision, but I'm not going to point you in any given direction, because I really truly want this to come from you, and I can give you advice and guidance the best I can, But at the same time, I think just making sure your daughter is as emotionally regulated as possible, like maybe taking some nature walks or spending some time with some animals or, you know, eating a nurturing meal, especially if you feel like kind of like a breakdown is on the cusp of happening. I remember choosing a college or maybe it wasn't choosing a college that was emotional, but I remember the college application process being like super, super stressful and emotional for me. So, you know, there's a lot of emotions that can kind of grab us and get wrapped up in this process. And it is an emotionally stressful process. So what can we do to keep the family as regulated and grounded as possible within this decision? Okay. Morgan, you said I'd love a card pulled for the week ahead. A lot of court cards here. Morgan, you've got the Queen of Swords. All right, so it's sometimes I think self-discipline and boundaries that we have for ourselves, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it comes down to like self-love and self-respect. And sometimes we have to, sometimes the self-loving choice is a harder choice that has kind of some tough boundaries within that. And sometimes the self-loving choice isn't necessarily giving into, you know, what we want to have, like whether that's, I don't know, like this is a bad example, but like let's say someone is really is really wanting to turn a new leaf when it comes to their what they're eating, and they know that gluten makes them feel really bad and flares up their whole system, and you know that self-loving choice not to eat gluten, you know, it might be really, 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 really difficult sometimes because you're almost fighting against like almost an addiction to things like carbs and sugar and, you know, glutens and everything. So that might be whatever you're trying to get past, Morgan, you might benefit from almost thinking of it as like, I'm trying to fight a sort of mental addiction, you know, and I need to give this like 30 days because that's how long it takes to break a habit. And I need to give myself this like, you know, opportunity to at least flip the new leaf before I go back to, you know, the old pattern or whatnot. But I have faith in you, Morgan, and this feels like a really strong Queen of Swords coming in as your like guardian angel almost to help you through this moment in a lot of ways. Okay, Natasha, you said, could I please have a card for my relationship life all right now? Yeah, let's see here. Oh, Six of Cups. Okay, are we talking about the future relationship life or the past relationship life? It feels to me like maybe this week it is going to help you kind of cut some of those final energetic cords with some of the past relationship stuff that has felt like has been bogging you down. You know, the Six of Cups tends to be kind of about the past and how we're framing the past. And maybe it's not so much about letting go of the past person, but maybe you're fully recognizing some of the patterns that you displayed in past relationships that you no longer, you know, want to display in future relationships. And I think there's something here about like recognition of those things and then that giving you the momentum to move forward. So that's how what I'm getting there from the Six of Cups, Natasha. Ellis, you said, can I get a card for my family situation? Should I strengthen or loosen up some boundaries? These people have historically not been good for my mental health. That's really tough, Ellis. And you got the Magician, which feels to me like, I think you're kind of on this cusp of, or you definitely have been on this kind of path of really big growth and expansion, even if you haven't felt like you have been. I think you are, and I know you are, and I think there's a lot of self-growth that has come from this time you've spent as an independent being. And I think it's interesting, you know, when it comes to family stuff, it's almost like, how will you feel if you share a part of this new self with your family and they don't react well? You know, or how will you feel on your path of growth if you kind of reveal this new idea or this new manifestation or this new path or this new relationship that you have, and you know, they don't understand it, or they aren't computing, you know, the same thing as you are. So this is me telling you that, not saying, I'm not making this sort of boundary decision for you by any means, but I think with the Magician here, it's just saying, like, can you continue this path of growth? Why have you grown so much in the past couple years? Is it a result partially of some of the boundaries that you've made with your family? And in order to continue that growth, maybe the boundaries can loosen up a little bit, but maybe it's kind of an experiment too of like how much is too much, right? That's what I'm getting. Laura, you said, if you can send me good vibes for my job interview tomorrow, I would appreciate it. Yeah, Laura, I am in full agreement that this job is an aligned opportunity and will line up. And I think just by letting go of your past work situation, I just know your energy has shifted in such big ways. I mean, I have no doubt that the right opportunities is already coming through. So just in full agreement that you meet this next opportunity. Sam, you said, would love a card. As always, your message is on point. Okay, Sam, Three of Cups. The idea of somatic release comes to mind, specifically as I see this card, the song Shake It Off by Taylor Swift comes up. And when we're going through a really big life shift or a sort of semi or kind of traumatic or triggering circumstance, I don't think we can solve it all by, you know, a sort of yoga session or a dance, ecstatic dance moment or something. Like, I don't think it's the cure-all. But I do know that, like, sitting in a sort of, like, crouched-up energy and kind of holding things in really, really doesn't help us regulate. So what is a somatic release kind of practice that can help you get out of that sort of like kind of crouched up energy, and what can kind of loosen some of this stagnant energy from you? For me, there's like a specific mood I am in for me to show up to hot yoga, and and like it is like the crabbiest, like most emotional, stewing, irritated, like just like not good version of myself. And I swear I'll show up to hot yoga and I will sweat like a demon from my pores and feel rebirthed after. So it must be, like, something like that's kind of stewing for you, Sam. This sort of, like, all right, what physical somatic release has to happen right now? Okay, glad that resonated. Okay, my friends. So I do have a session right now, so I gotta bounce. But it was so good to chat with you guys today. And if I didn't get around to answering your question, I'm in full agreement that the universe will answer it through a sign or sort of a synchronicity at some point this week. And I think I'm really looking forward to all of the shifts that this week will bring. Y'all are so welcome. And I appreciate you still showing up at a different time. How do we feel about this time? Do we like this time? Should we switch it to 4 p.m.? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I will see you all next week. Thanks, friends. Sign up for Moonology. Moonology begins next Saturday. Let's go. Okay, bye.